Psalm chapter 1 this morning, Psalm chapter 1, and I'll give you a 15-minute challenge. We'll be out of here by 25. So Psalm chapter 1 this morning, Psalm chapter 1, I want to be a help and encouragement to you and a blessing, and I pray for a few minutes we could just focus in on God's Word here. I'll learn a truth that you can apply to your life and take it home with you today and live it out this week. Psalm chapter number 1, one of my favorite passages in all of the Word of God, Psalm chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Verse number 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I want to preach on this subject this morning, or teach, rather. Blessed is the man. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to speak in Sunday school today. I pray that we could just kind of set aside those things that are cluttering our mind and just for a few minutes focus in on the Word of God. And I pray that you would teach us the truth here in this passage that would change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1965, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones debuted a hit song called "I Just Can't Get No Satisfaction." In one part of the song, it says, "I try and I try and I try, but I just can't get no satisfaction." Here was a man who had everything that he ever wanted. He had all the money in the world. He had all the fame in the world. He had all the fortune in the world. He had the women. He had the houses. He had the cars. He had externally, he had everything he ever wanted. But internally, he was bankrupt. And we could look at him and say, well, Taylor, he didn't have any happiness, he didn't have any joy, and because he didn't know the Lord, he didn't know God, he wasn't saved, he was an unsaved man. Yet sad to say, there are some people in this very room who you could echo that exact same message spiritually. I just can't get no satisfaction. The word blessed, it literally means in the Hebrew, oh, how happy. And it's almost as if God is holding up a big sign saying, you want to have joy, you want to be happy, you want to live a life of purpose, then walk this way. Amen. Then do what I'm about to tell you to do. Amen. I just want to show you two quick steps that will result in satisfaction. Number one, you must be separated from the world. You must be separated from the world. I'm not going to dwell here because I want to focus my time on point number two. But number one, you must be separated from the world. Here God teaches that a spiritually happy man is marked by the things that he does not do, by the places that he does not go, by the music that he does not listen to, by the friends that he does not have, by the things that he does not watch on TV. He's marked by the things that he does not do. Folks, you go to Barnes & Noble this morning, you're going to go to a self-help section, and it's going to say, read this book, and I'll give you 5 things that'll make you happy. Here's 10 things that you have to do to have joy. But God says, listen, if you're going to be spiritually happy, if you're going to be biblically happy, here's some things that you do not need to do. He's marked by the things that he does not do. Folks, I'm so thankful that God, when he saved you and he saved me, he didn't kick our hides to the curb and say, well, good luck, I'll meet you on the finish line. I'll see you when you get there. He didn't do that to us, did he? When you and I got saved, he put a book in our hands and he says, listen, I'm going to put a book in your hand and I want it to act as a roadmap on your journey through life. He said, listen, on this, I want it to act as a lamp into your feet and a light into your path. Right. He says, on this thing called life, your journey, he says, there's going to be many dangers and toils and snares along the way. There's even an enemy that wants to destroy your life. But he says, I've taken the time to go throughout this roadmap and I've placed warning signs for you all throughout my word. Amen. To help you to keep you from losing your spiritual joy. And 3 of those warning signs are right here in verse number 1. Number 1, he says, avoid sinful counsel. Number 2, he says, avoid sinful companions. And number 3, he says, avoid sinful critics. Folks, if you're going to be a spiritually happy man, you're going to be separated from the world. But I'm not going to spend my time on there. Point number 2, you must be saturated in the Word. You must be saturated or immersed or consumed with the Word. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, but. Notice, that's a huge contrast. It means, listen, the man who's going to be spiritually happy, he doesn't find his happiness and his joy in the things that are found in verse 1, but he finds his happiness and his joy in the things that are found in verse 2. You say, what's found in verse number 2? The law of the Lord. The Bible. You must be saturated in the Word. Folks, a lot of us, we're good. The equation of happiness and having joy here, what God tells us, most of us, we got part 1 down. We got the separation down. We listen to the right music. We're here on Sunday. We do the right things. We got part 1 down. But most of us, we struggle with part number 2, don't we? It's being saturated in the Word. Folks, if you're going to be saturated in the Word, number 1, you must crave it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, what do you delight in? What do you delight in?
There you go.
Many of us, we delight in hunting and fishing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Man, these girls in the front row, they delight in shopping. My soul, they delight in shopping, folks. Listen, that's okay in moderation. Lots of moderation. They delight in it. I delight in Starbucks coffee, folks. I love it. I get Starbucks every single day. I love Starbucks. Listen, there's all kinds of things. For some of you in here, I don't know why in heaven's name you would like this, but you like NASCAR. You delight in that. Hey, have at it. Those things are okay to delight in. But I want to ask you this morning, do you delight in God's Word?
Oh,
listen, we enjoy those things, and what we enjoy, we seek out and we speak about what we enjoy. But I'm asking you real, just a personal question. Do you delight in God's Word? Sad to say, when we talk about we believe in the inspiration of the Bible and it's inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, it's irrefutable, it's indestructible, we would all say, amen, brother, that's good preaching. Well, let me ask you, when's the last time you personally spent time in it this week? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. Sometimes we just got to look in the mirror and face the truth and say, do I really love God's Word? Do you delight in God's Word? Years ago, Robert Sumner, he wrote a book, preacher, pastor, called The Wonderful Works, The Words of God. And in that book, he tells the story of a young man who was involved in a horrible explosion in Kansas City. His hands were burned off, he lost his eyesight, and he was a brand new Christian. And he was laid up in that hospital bed, and they said, what bothers you the most about this accident? He said, the fact that I'm no longer able to read the Word of God. He heard about a lady who was in England who could read Braille with her lips. He said, you know what, I'm going to try that. So he sent off for a Bible in Braille. Finally, it got to where he was. And that day, he picked up the Bible, and he brought that Braille letters to his lips. And unfortunately, the nerve endings on his lips had been burned off. As he was taking the Bible away from his mouth that day, his tongue slid across one of those raised characters of the Braille. And he felt it. And he thought to himself, you know what, I can read the Bible with my tongue. By the time Robert Sumner's book came out, that man had read the Bible 4 times with his tongue. I'm asking tonight, or this morning, do you love the Word of God? I have a pastor friend in Tucson, Arizona. His name is Brent Armstrong, pastor at Tucson Baptist Temple. He went to a missions trip in China. He went to preach in one of the underground churches there. He was preaching on the Bible. Before he started, there was really just a group of ladies, foreign Chinese ladies. He said, can anybody stand up and quote any verses that you've memorized? One lady stood up. She quote, Matthew chapter 1. This book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, but so-and-so begat so-and-so, and all the way through, quoted the entire chapter of Matthew chapter 1. The lady next to her tugged her and said, sit down, sit down. So pastor went on preaching. At the end of the service, he went to that lady and said, sir, well why did you make her stop? He said, pastor, preacher, if I didn't make her stop, she would have quoted the entire book. Later on, he found out that was the only book of the Bible that woman possessed. Wow. I'm asking you tonight, you love God's Word? Oh, you must crave it, but also you must consume it. You must consume it. The Bible says that you have to, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. Meditate literally means to deliberately engaging your conscious mind in the truth of God's Word. You know what it means to meditate. If something's bothering you or something bad happened at work, all the way home, you're just thinking about it. You're just mulling over. You're just murmuring in your mind and in your heart. Folks, that's what it means to meditate. And folks, when you read your Bible, it's not like the newspaper. You pick and choose what you want to read and close it and go on with the rest of your day. Folks, when you read the Bible in the morning, you ought to be looking for something. Can I just take a few minutes right here and teach you how to read the Bible? Not that I'm a professional, but I just want to help you. These things will help you. Number one, you must read your Bible prayerfully. You must read your Bible prayerfully. You need to echo the prayer of the psalmist who said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You must read it prayerfully. You ought to come to God in the morning and say, God, well, you got your coffee right here. You got your Bible right here. And you say, God, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me your truth today. I need Holy Spirit illumination because I need to understand God's Word. I need it, God. I need you to give me something today. Oh, you read it prayerfully. Number two, you read it purposefully. Folks, you don't just read this thing randomly. You read it with purpose. You're looking for something when you read the Bible. You say, what I'm looking for, Taylor? I'm glad you asked. You ought to look for an example to follow. An example to follow. You ought to look for a sin to confess. You ought to look for a warning to heed. You ought to look for a promise to claim. You ought to look for a command to obey. Oh, you read it prayerfully. You read it purposefully. Lastly, you read it practically. Folks, there's no reason to read the Bible if you're not going to apply it to your life. You want to read it. I'm talking about the application of the Bible. I want to ask you a real convicting question. When was the last time that you changed something in your life because the Bible told you to?
Amen.
When was the last time you changed something in your life
right.
because the Bible told you to? Let me say this. If you can't tell me what you learned, if you can't verbalize what you learned from God's Word this morning, you didn't learn anything.
That's true.
Folks, that's convicting.
That's true.
But we got to look in the mirror sometime and come face to face with it and say, God, am I really in love with your Word? Number one, you must be separated from the world. You must be saturated in the Word. And lastly, it'll result in you will be satisfied in His will. You'll be satisfied in His will. Notice this, folks, in verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Can you just picture that in your mind? Just a deep-rooted tree that's just unmovable. Folks, aren't you tired of this Christianity? When you're fired up one week, and the next week you're backslidden. It's up and down and up and down. Listen, God didn't intend for you to live your life that way. God wants you to be planted. He wants you to be rooted in Christ, as it talks about in Colossians chapter 2. Oh, if you're planted next, you'll be producing. Notice it says, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know what the real joy in the Christian life is? It's when you and I have fruit in our lives. When there's something results from our life. And when you study the Bible, you'll see there's two types of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Folks, those things ought to be manifested in your life. Listen, if you're a grump all the time and you're an old codger all the time, folks, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. You ought to be manifesting those things in your life. There ought to be the fruit of the Spirit, but secondly, there ought to be the fruit of souls.
Amen.
Folks, if you're separated from the world and you're saturated in the Word, something's going to happen in your life. And folks, before long, there's going to be some producing some fruit of souls in your life. Let me ask you, ma'am, when was the last time you personally led someone to Jesus Christ?
Good.
Sir, when's the last time you led someone at work or your neighbor or a relative to Jesus Christ? When was the last time? You know why many of us don't lead people to the Lord? Because we're not separated from the world, and we don't have a testimony to back it up. I'm talking about producing. Lastly, you'll be prospering. You'll be prospering. Notice, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Folks, don't you want a marriage that prospers? Don't you want a family that prospers? Don't you want a church that prospers? Don't you want to prosper and be a success in your own personal spiritual life? Folks, when the hot winds roll off the desert, I'm just asking you this morning, will your leaf wither? Will your leaf wither? Blessed is the man. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll turn it over to the pastor. Father, thank you for these folks, these kind, warm folks that have welcomed us here today. Father, I pray through the preaching and through the singing, we've been an encouragement to them. I hope when we leave today, they'll say, those young people were a blessing to us. I pray that we would be able to be that for this church. Father, I pray for the next hour, the service hour. I pray there's anyone here that's lost, they'd be saved today. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.